nursing home, a nurse called me over there. And I went there to witness to a man that was about to die, and they were concerned about him because he was cantankerous. And he just had no sign of life in regards to spiritual life. And so I came in there and introduced myself. He was laying there, could not get out of bed, could barely speak. And I was witnessing to him and tell him about the love of Jesus and how it's coming to a close here for him. And he motioned me over closer. So I had to kind of get down there to hear him because he's very weak. And he said these words I'll never forget. Leave me alone. And indeed I did. I sat back and I prayed for him silently, and I left him alone. Within the same time period, we had another lady in our church, an old folks' home, a nursing home, a rehab actually, and I got down there to find out that one of my officer buddies that I used to work with on RPD, his daddy was in there and he was on his last days, Mr. McCauley. And I never met him. I worked with his son for years. And I went into Mr. McCauley's room and I introduced myself, complete strangers, and told him that I had worked with his son. And he was very weak. And I began to tell him about the love of Jesus. And I got down there close and I said, Mr. McCauley, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And he did the same thing, a little closer. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 14 in Plainview, Texas, and he started bawling because he had hope. Now here's my question, brothers, sisters. What causes one man to take Jesus at the point of death and another one say, no, I don't need him, when it means everything? We're about to read why, but I'll give you the answer. It's only one thing, and it takes all of the credit away from you. And it's called spiritual blindness. Your eyes have been open if you know the Lord today, and maybe today you have not had your eyes open. Today I'm going to be preaching a sermon that you're going to have to make a decision about. Most sermons, there should be some kind of that, but today especially, I'm going to talk about four different heart situations you can have. And by the way, you have one of them. There's not a number five. There's not a number six. There's not another option. You're one of these hearts. And I'm going to ask the Lord that he would open your eyes and show you which one it is. Because it's coming down to this here. Has your eyes been opened? For they cannot see the truth of the gospel. And the value of knowing Christ is greater than all the riches that can bring. As this song just said, we will never give our lives, we'll never give our futures and our fortunes and our time and our energy until we have a revelation from God that we're living in the city of destruction. And that unless we flee to the cross, there's no hope for us. And that this life you're living, this physical life, is not even close to the spiritual life that we really are designed for and destined for. This is a very appealing illustration here as Jesus uses a parable to open up eyes. This is the parable of the sower. It's a farming parable. And we know that in our culture today, only about 9% of you live on a farm. But a lot of us are bringing farming into our little homes, aren't they? We're becoming more farm-oriented. If you went over to my house yesterday for a barbecue, you saw that we have a little farm going on. I have a little vineyard, and the Morton Vineyard, and some grapes and some raspberries and some tomatoes that may or may not make it through the day, honey, since winter has come back. And we have this, but there's very few. But just before World War II, most of our America was on a farm. And I bet you if I got some of you guys that were a little older than me, I bet you some of you were raised on a farm right here in this church. Not so much anymore. Very few of us are. But in this day, Jesus' day, the issue of crop failure was not just an issue of economy. It was an issue of life. If the seed didn't grow and go to maturity and have a crop, we starve to death. And so, if I want you to place yourself in the situation that Jesus is talking here, because we think a crop failure here is some farmer's problem, but crop failure for your soul is everything to you. It'll mean your very soul. It will mean you starving in hell or thriving in heaven. The difference is remarkable. And the title of the sermon is The Word of the Kingdom. Did you know that Christ is here, that his kingdom is at hand, and with it comes a word of the kingdom, and I hold it right here. It's the Bible. It is going to determine how your heart receives everything. It is the filter that the Lord uses to actually divide your heart and the intentions of your heart. This Bible is not an option. This culture today wants you to think that this was written by a bunch of men. And that is not true. It was written by the Holy Spirit, for men could not have done that. 40 authors over 1,600 years. And nail it. We have 2,500 prophecies in here, and 2,000 of them have already come true. Are you going to bet your soul on the next 500? They're already happening. They're already coming true. And so be careful how you treat the Word of God. And this is the Word of the Kingdom. And we're going to see that it has to be planted in people's hearts. And so we'll see here. It's a very simple, simple illustration. Would you stand with me as we read this? I divided it up in the bulletin, but I'm not going to do that. I don't care for sometimes when we divide Scripture up. Let's just read it. Because I don't know what I'm going to say today. I really don't know much what I'm going to say today until we get there. But I know what this one thing, what I say right here will be more important than anything I say. So let's read it. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 3 through 23. And he spoke many things to them. This is Jesus, in parable, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. In your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Lord, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, open our hearts and our eyes and our minds. Open our ears. May we hear your truth. May it penetrate our heart. May you plow it up, Lord, I pray. Bless this preacher. Would you loose my mind and my tongue that I would preach for you, Lord, to an audience of one, my Lord and King, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A very easy illustration for the people of that time. People would go out, a farmer would cast the seed. They would cast the seed and they'd probably bring a rake that probably pulled by a human, and it would just turn the soil over just a little bit, top quarter inch, just enough to cover that soil, and we'd get a little rain on it and it would come up. And so everybody understood this. This is not a hard parable. There's two things you must know about this parable. The first one is the seed. At no time in this parable does it say the seed has any problems. The seed is the word of God. And I stand before you today, it has no problems. It's not faulty. In fact, it has life. This is the word of life. Seeds are incredible things. Right now, we can go into an observatory, maybe down in Nebraska, where they're growing corn, and they can make an exact kernel of corn, the exact amount of protein, everything. Put it up in a little shell and put it in the ground, and it rots. Because only God can put life in it. We can't do it. We can't make that. We can put it all together, but we can't give it life. It rots in the ground. That's and the same is for the word of God. We couldn't make this. Only God could make this, and it's the words of life, and it's the word of the kingdom. He says it right here in verse 19. The word of the kingdom was scattered, and on what? Well, he says it over and over and over again. The ground is your heart. It illustrates the human soul, the heart. And it gives some conditions. And so today I want you to think about this. What is earth designed for? What's soil for? Well, it's for growing stuff. And so is your heart. And there's something growing in it right now. Just so you know. You are growing things. So this terminology is present throughout the Bible for how we bear fruit. To what fruit it is and the judgment of the fruit. And so let's look at some of these different heart situations. And I really want you to think about this and maybe just have a word of prayer with yourself and the Lord right now. And just ask the Lord to open your heart to what soil am I? Because what I'm about to ask you will mean everything in your heart and soul. And don't play games. The Holy Spirit, if you'll ask him, I believe he'll tell you. I've never had a problem hearing from the Lord. I've had a lot of problems doing what he told me. Yeah, boy. He's going to tell me to give up everything. Come follow him. I heard that. And it took me a while to do it. Condition number one, we see it in verse 4. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. He says what it was in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sowed beside the road or on the pathway. Hard, packed way. A pathway only has two problems. Why doesn't seeds grow on the trail? Why doesn't seeds grow out here in our parking lot? What is the problem? There's two problems. First of all, there's too much traffic. A church, we are a busy people. We're so busy, we don't got time for Jesus. This isn't me, you know, we want to fly right away to the hardness, but let's talk about the busyness of what this trail is. What is taking up your time? Why is it that I remember sitting in a meeting with even some deacons, and a deacon said he did not have time to have quiet time. And I had to say, you got to take that up with the Lord. Well, what does your life consist of? Are you so busy that there's no time for your heart to receive the Word of God? Now, you're in church today, that's a good sign. But just what are you busy with? And how much prayer time did you have this week? These are signs that we're too busy. And busy, I don't know about you, but you can be really busy. And as long as you have the Lord and you're busy about His work, it's amazing what you can get done. But when we're so busy with this world, and at the end of the day, what are we going to have? We're not going to have anything. It's all going to get burned up. And so the first thing about a path is it's busy. It's too busy. It's too busy to have the Word of God. The second part is it's hard. It's packed down. The seed falls, and the first problem is it can't get through that, and it's just laying bare there. And I don't know if you got quail in your yard. I got quail in my yard every once in a while. I have a little Dachshund, so he runs them off. But seeing quail pick... You know, they'll sometimes scratch around quite a bit, but the seed on top is gone like that. And the birds come, they take it. What makes a heart hard? Let me tell you what makes it hard. Sin. You want to know why the Lord wants you to stop sinning? Why He wants you to stop looking at porno? Why He wants you to stop being prideful? Why you should humble yourself? Why He wants you to start living for Him? It's because sin hardens your heart. And it makes you callous to compassion and mercy, except for yourself, of course. And sin hardens us, and we probably see it the most in relationships, specifically marriage. Remember the Pharisees coming up to Jesus and says, you know what? Moses gave us a certificate of divorce, so we get to get divorced. What did Jesus tell them? You know what? You're right. Moses gave you a certificate of divorce. But you know why? It's because of the hardness of your heart. You're so hard that you can't love one another. And I've never seen a divorce without someone hard. Hardened by sin. Either one says, I don't want this anymore. I don't want her. I don't want him. I want this other one. I want to sin. And it's hardened their heart. Or there's just bitterness and unforgiveness, and there's no softness. And there's just no hope for that. It takes two to get married, one to get divorced. And we have this hardness. Sin hardens us. And when you see it for a long term time, it's alarming. I remember doing a welfare check. A lady called me on the phone. We were so busy running all over Reno, Nevada. And I was a sergeant, so I picked up the calls to check the welfare. I said, I'll go over there and check the welfare. And I go over there and knock on the door. This lady calls me. She says, my daddy won't answer the phone. I'm scared to death of him. He's not in good health. And she sounded like a Christian. Sounded like she knew the Lord. So I went over there. His name was Don. I'll never forget him. I knocked on his door, knocked on a rundown motel on West 4th Street. Knock, 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 knock. Finally, yeah, come in. You know, he's unlocked. West 4th Street, your unlocked door. I walk in. Just a pigsty with an old drunk man sitting in the middle of it all. He's a bartender for decades. Pornography all over the wall. Not a sign of the gospel anywhere. Of the end of a life of hardened by sin. And he had drunk so much, and he had so much sound and stuff, he was beginning to go deaf. So I had to yell at him, what's your name? And it was just such a clear view of a hardened heart, of a life wasted on sin, and could not even hear me talk about Jesus, though my heart broke for him. And I had to call the daughter and say, I got to take him away. He can't even care for himself. He's so drunk and wasting away. Hey, you say, wow, I'm not like Don. You don't have to be like Don to be wasting your life with being busy with this world and caught up in sin. That's all it is. Just living that life. And so I beg you, if this is you, you might look at it and say, man, what do I do about that? I got good news for you. I've seen a whole lot of men and women. The Lord can plow your heart just like that. If you'll open. If you see that you're desperate. You know, Israel ran away. Hard people, stiff-necked. Jesus is speaking to them right here. He says their heart became dull. Just a bunch of knuckleheads. And he says this in Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Do you know that's how powerful Jesus is? He can change you over right now. I've seen drunkards come to Jesus. I've seen the profane and the vilest of men. I know his name. His name was Mark. God can change your heart. Let's look at the second soil. Hey, it's superficial. If you want to name it something, this is a very scary piece of scripture for us in this house. For we could be this man. Because it looks pretty good on the outside. But it's even worse on the inside. For there's nothing harder in the field. Even the path is a rock. And that's the picture of your heart. It's the heart of a hypocrite. Now, when you go to the grain fields, I was raised in Montana, and I've taken some of you there, and when you go down those strip, it's this big farm strip lines, you know, they alternate their fields, and you just got this grain field, and if on every section, about every mile by a mile, there's going to be a monument on the edge of the edge of the road or out in the middle of the field, and out there is a big pile of rocks. And if a farmer comes and says, hey, would you like to work for me? We're going to pick rock today. Just say no. Just don't. I don't care what he offers you. I had one farmer, you know, a bunch of football players, come pick rock, give you $3.25 an hour. We went out there. He says, now don't pick up anything smaller than your head. And we went all day like that. You know, there's about 500 of them out there. And they're about the size of watermelons. And he's throwing them up in his 2-ton truck. And hopefully he has a bucket. If you're not, you got to throw them back out. And after about 500-600 of them, you're tired. And because it's really hard to grow on rocks. And he's clearing his field. And this is about that. And the purpose is that rocks are very hard to grow things on. First, the rock is just under the surface. Has a little soil on top of it, and the seed hits it and gets a little rain, and it sprouts up. That's a good thing. We got some growth. We got to start. He received it with joy. He got that. Wow, I love Jesus. Jesus is so good to me. Jesus died for me. This is wonderful. It's going to be an easy road from here on out. Yeah, I hear that, church. It's going to be, you know, oh, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine. Well, that's what happens next. Sunshine comes. Sunshine's good for stuff. You got to have sunshine. Sunshine does two things. Photosynthesis, right? You went to your biology class in high school. Makes it green. Puts off oxygen. Needs carbon monoxide or dioxide, one of them. I don't know. I can never remember those. I just know one of them kills you. And but the oxygen's good. Comes out there, and then the sun hits the plant, and the plant goes, whoa, it's getting hot. I'm going to put my root in the ground so I can find some water. But it hits a rock. Yeah. That's good. I had a lady come to my house, look at my yard, told me I was watering it too much. I'm babying my grass. Did you know that? I'm babying my grass. My grass doesn't have to put its roots down because it's got all this water. She says, you got to let it go. Let it grow up. She's a little weird. But I like green grass. And so that's what happens. It hits a rock, and it hits a rock, and it can't penetrate, and the sun comes up and dries it up. And it says here, Jesus says here, you know what dries it up? You get offended by the Word of God. Get a handle on that. You know what's really difficult is when we start reading the Bible and you go, wait a minute, that's talking about me. And I'm kind of offended. It saved my life, brothers and sisters. Word of God will save your life. Because it's not going to pull any punches. It's going to tell you who you are. And let me tell you, when we start talking about real issues, real issues of our life, you'll hear affliction and you'll get persecution because of the Word of God. Whenever we start talking about subjects, let me just mention a few. When we start, what's the Bible say about homosexuality? Well, it's an abomination. God hates it. God, you will not prosper. When I look at a gay man or a gay woman, my heart breaks for them. I am not disgusted. I think they've given up on their future. Everything God has for them. God didn't make you that way. You fell that way. Bible says so. That's not fun to hear. How about abortion, huh? You were knitted in your mother's womb. You start talking like that. How about same-sex marriage? It's an abomination to the Lord. That's spitting on the ordinances of God. Gender chaos. It's going rampant. Women, right? You don't have to have women. We don't even know what a woman is anymore. It's getting crazy. We can't decide what bathroom we're going to go into. All this because we left the first basic things, such as, how about adultery? Huh? The adultery, it will not go unpunished. He'll not go unpunished. The Bible says so. How about fornication, or what we call shacking up? Ooh, man, you want to start getting the church to look around a little bit and get uncomfortable. You start talking about these things that the Bible will offend you. How about pornography? Many of which today, 80% in some cultures in America, believe it's not even a sin anymore. It's crazy. In fact, in the Northwest, they think that pornography, you know what's worse than pornography in the Northwest? According to a Barna report, not recycling your Pepsi can. That's worse than pornography. We've lost our minds, even in the church. I want to go up there and just do a revival and drink a Pepsi in front of them and throw it away in the garbage can. They say that'd be worse than me opening up Playboy up here. Just think about that. We start talking about, how about drunkenness? Now we're starting to talk about things that offend, and let me ask you something. Just because your kids started doing it doesn't mean you need to change your mind about it, Mom and Dad. Why don't you save their life and hold to the Word of God? It's the only thing that will save your life. And what happens is we grow up and we go, yay, Jesus is wonderful. Wait a minute, he has some hard things to say. And we wither and we die because we won't receive it. Our hearts are hard to the Word of God. Hey, this is what saves your life, Christian. Church member, this is where life is. There's not another seed out there. Don't run from it. Receive it. And let God plow up that stony heart and find life. And it's amazing to me that the hardest thing found in the soil is not a path, it was a rock. And it looked pretty good for a moment. The third soil, congestion. We see it in verse 7. You see that? Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. It says down here, I believe in verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it became unfruitful. Wow. It choked it out. Been choked out in the police world is a little joke. When in doubt, choke them out. Not too many people laugh at that because it's a police joke, but getting choked out. We render a guy unconscious because you cut off the blood supply to his carotid arteries. You don't choke him like in the throat. You put him in the crook of your neck and you hang on for a while because he's fighting you, and he goes unconscious and you can do anything you want. He wakes up handcuffed. Whoa, what happened? Man, we choked you out. This can choke you out. Congestion, we use the word all the time. Traffic, congested traffic. You know what? I only have to drive to this church when I have to go to work from Cold Springs. But every once in a while, I have to run to the hospital about 7 in the morning. Wow, have things changed? It's like, wow, we get to Golden Valley. And we're stopped. Or even sooner. And if someone has an accident, just go home. Congestion, right? We use it in our nose, you know, congested nose. But you know another place we use it? Congested heart failure. Because that's what this is talking about. You got something in your heart that doesn't belong. What is it? The Bible will say what it is here. It's weeds. It's something that shouldn't be there. You see, you got these little vessels around your heart. It's not the big tubes going in. It's your heart muscle that goes do, 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 do. And it's time. It's got electrical. It's just an amazing thing. This thing runs. It doesn't take a break. If it does, not good. These little vessels, you know, get clogged, congested, and pretty soon one of them blocks, and we have an event called a heart attack. And it's a life-threatening event. And if you don't get help, you'll die. And this scripture says that our heart is choked up. It's choked up with weeds. And what are those weeds' name? Well, number one weed is worry. About what? This world. And all the things about it. Worried about making sure you're making a living. All worried about money and worried about all these things. You're just a big worry wart. You know why? Because it comes naturally. These weeds are indigenous to your heart. Huh? They grow. You don't even have to do anything. They're like weeds in my yard. You know how you want to know how to grow weeds? Don't do anything. Just lay back. They do great. My grass dies, but they do great. I mean, they just take over the place. You just do nothing. That's how you get this place. You got to plow up. I got my garden. I got to weed it all the time. I got to turn it over, and then I plant everything, and then I got to pick weeds all summer. If I pick the tomato, it doesn't come back. It dies. It's what I want. And your heart is like this. And why is it? Weeds are indigenous to the soil. Sin is indigenous to your fleshy heart. And if you let it grow, it'll take over. And they sap the nutrition out of your heart that you should be using on something else instead of worrying about this world. How about you worry about your soul? The one that's going to go on. The one that's really life is in. Weeds will soon take over the garden and or field. And since they grow so much quicker than the good seed, you've lost your soul. And its fruit is useless. It's worth nothing. At the end of the day, you're going to worry yourself sick for zip. Pastor Thompson used to tell me this, Mark, worry is the interest you pay on things that never will happen. Just a big interest. You know, I know the other weed's name? Trusting in riches. We got money, we're good. Because it'll make me happy. If I have enough money, it'll take care of all my problems. That's the biggest lie you'll ever hear in your life. In Reno, Nevada, we have the worst suicide rate in all of the nation. You know what suicide's regulated to? It's regulated to the wealthy. You know what people do in Africa and the Congo? They look at us and go, what a bunch of idiots. You got all this stuff and you're killing yourself. They don't do that there. They're trying to survive. West Africa, they don't do that. It's way low suicide rates. What's going on? Well, we're trusted in something that cannot be trusted. And that's money. It can't make you happy. It can't do it. And the deceitfulness of riches makes us feel like everything's going to be okay. But how many problems do you have that money can't fix? Huh? Can money fix your kid from being bad? Hey, can money make your kid graduate from high school? No. Can money fix your mother-in-law's cancer? No. Can money change your heart? Maybe for the worst. It doesn't do anything. And we worry about this, and this chokes out our life. And pretty soon we don't even have Jesus around. And this good soil has been turned into a worldling. The last soil is the prepared soil, the good soil. And before you go, cool, I'm good, don't get too excited. You can't even take credit for that. For God has plowed your heart up, and he's opened your eyes. He's opened your ears. You have seen the danger you're in. I've been reading Pilgrim's Progress. Thank you, Pastor Jared. And I love that part where his family comes out and his neighbors, come on back, don't run. And he plugs his ears and he goes, life, eternal life. And he just keeps running because he understands he's living in the city of destruction. And he goes, I got to have life. And his heart is being tore up and he realizes that he has to meet a God one day. And he's going to meet him face to face. And can you meet him like you are right now? Can you do that? Are you growing in spirit? You say, well, what's that mean? Well, the gifts of the Spirit, the blessings of the Spirit in your heart are many. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Are these things growing within your heart? I'm not asking if you come into church. The Mormons do that. The Hindus do that better than we do. I'm asking if God is living in your heart and you have these things flowing out of you. Which one is it, church? You're one of these four. Where are you? Ask the Lord and don't play around. This is your soul you were talking about. This has to be tested. Test it. Say, Pastor, how do you test it? Man, get on your knees and start praying. Yeah. Ask God to move on your heart. Get desperate. See the scripture for what it is. Read it. Hey, get done with your little busy life and open your Bible. This words of life will penetrate your heart. It'll change everything up. You might have to take a little time to have prayer. And ask that, but test it now. Don't test it when you stand before the Lord. Wrong time. I'll never forget this call as long as I live. I was at the Comstock Casino. It's called something else now. But it turned into a bunch of rooms for rent up there. And three Russian guys came here on a work visa. There was a bunch of Russian people, but they roomed together to make some money. And they were up on the 11th floor. And when you go to the Comstock, up on the 11th floor and all those floors, when you look down the hallway, there's glass from the floor to the ceiling. Just one big piece of glass all the way up the side of the building. And this one Russian kid goes, you see that glass? That's American-made shatterproof glass. That will stop anything. Who told him that? Nobody told him that. Zero people told him that. He thought that up. Did you know you can think things up that are stupid? And just think, I've asked people, what do you believe, reincarnation? Who would you hear that? I just thought it up. That's the devil speaking to you. Yeah, it doesn't come from the Word of God. And what he did, he goes, I'm going to take off running. I'm going to throw myself against it. Watch, guys. And he took off running, and he just shouldered it and hit it. And to his surprise, he was into the Reno Night Air, 11 stories up. And it costed him his life that day. It was a sad story. I just went, wow, that's stupid. Why'd he do that? He tested something without ever looking into it. Do you know how many people I speak to say, where are you going to go when you go, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to wait to see what happens. What are you going to do when you die? I don't know. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Why don't you ask the Lord now? Where's your soul? Would you bow your head? Our musicians are going to take their place, but as they do, I want to ask you, church. I think this thing, this whole world we call world's winding down. And I wouldn't be a preacher if I didn't tell you this. Hey, what soil are you? If you're here today and you say, hey, I'm hardened by sin. I got hypocrisy in my life. I've had a little bit of growth, but the Word of God convicts me, and I just haven't prayed. I don't do any of that anymore. I'm so worried about all this stuff. I don't even pray anymore. I don't read my Bible. I have money now, and I have depended on that, and it has left me empty. If that's you today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Man, that's me. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. You know what? It means you're lost. It means you do not know the Lord. And that is a tragedy. And don't you leave this house. Do you know you can beg for that? That you can go to Christ for that? If you're here today, you say, hey, I really believe the Lord has plowed up my heart, Pastor. I believe I have been giving fruitful things of the Lord in my life. And I just want to raise my hand and thank Jesus that I know him. Raise your hand. Is that you? Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. We're going to have an invitation. It's, hey, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song. What number are we going to sing, brother?
It's number 465.
465. Would you stand and sing 465? Hey, I don't care. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Worry about what the Lord thinks. And if you need to come forward today and say, hey, I need to come to Christ. I need the Lord. My soul is something it shouldn't be. You come as the Lord leads you.